This is a very sobering chapter, this Numbers chapter 16, because it's the chapter of the big showdown between really God and these rebels. Sometimes in the story like this, the focus is between Moses and Aaron and the rebels, but really what's going on is God is facing down these big talkers. And we saw last week the opposition was strong. The opposition was numerous. They had the majority. The opposition was organized. These were not weak people. These were 250 of the most powerful men in the nation. They gathered together in this conspiracy with the intention of facing down Moses and Aaron. And really what's behind it, they want to face God down. They have no respect for God, His holiness. And Korah and the 250 big mouths have spoken. They've had their say. Moses and Aaron have spoken. And now God is going to speak. And God is going to have the last word. And you know, that's the same for your life and my life. It's the same for this nation. It's the same for this world. Man has his moment. But then God has the last word for all of our lives. Now you notice in verse 19 and 20, Korah gathers all the congregation, all the people, all under his influence. And now in verse 20, God is going to speak. And look at verse 20 very carefully. You'll see that God doesn't speak to Korah or Nathan or Abiram. They had their chance. They've had 24 hours to reflect on what they have said before God. And now God is going to speak, and He's not going to speak to them because there's nothing more God has to say to them. God calls Moses and Aaron, and He says in verse 21, "Separate yourselves from the whole congregation." In other words, stand aside. What's God going to do? He reveals that I may consume them in just a moment. Now, it's interesting. God doesn't say, step aside from the 250. God says, step aside from all the congregation. 3 to 4 million people. Step aside from them all, Moses, Aaron. There's an indication even in that, that these 250 men had gathered the vast majority of people behind them. No doubt Moses and Aaron were not popular because of their consistency of life. And I think they would be very unpopular because if you remember just previous to this, Moses was the one who brought the news that these people would never enter the promised land. That God was going to cut them all down in the wilderness. Everyone below the age of 20, or above the age of 20, would perish in the next 40 years. And I'm sure Moses and Aaron were not popular with those who would perish. And I'm sure Dathan and Abiram and Korah was able to manipulate. God says, step aside, Moses. Step aside, Aaron. Let me deal with the situation. What God is doing, He's testing Moses and Aaron. How will they react to this command, to this judgment? And it says in verse 22, here's the reaction. And they fell upon their faces. Be very easy for Moses and Aaron to ignore what God is going to do. It'd be very easy for Moses and Aaron to just say, well, it's not my problem. I'm safe. God approves of me. And after all, these people deserve it for what they have done. But the reaction is as was noted before. They fell on their face before the Lord. They humbled themselves. And really what they're saying to the Lord is, you are in control. But we have one last thing to pray for. And here's what they ask. O God, the God of the spirits of all flesh, shall one man sin? And wilt thou be wroth or angry with the whole congregation? In other words, they said to the Lord, don't wipe the whole congregation out. Just because Dathan and Abiram and Korah, the 250, are such rebels and have such influence over them, have mercy upon all the rest. And such love, we have to say, that we see in the heart of Moses, and now Aaron. Aaron has changed, have you noticed? Previously, when the great crowd at Mount Sinai wanted Aaron to make the golden calf, he says, I was afraid of the people, and I made them the calf. But now Aaron has learned from that mistake, and he stands side by side with Moses on the truth. And when Aaron's life is threatened, like Moses, he still has a love for the people. He's growing. He's changing. And both Moses and Aaron, what you see stamped on their image is the image of the Lord Jesus Christ, isn't it? The one who hung on the cross and looked at those who wanted him crucified and spat upon him, said, Father, forgive them. For they know not what they do. In fact, the Greek is very clear. When Jesus hung on the cross, it says, he said, Father, forgive them, over and over and over again. Before he gave up the ghost. And here Moses and Aaron, before Christ has even come the first time, are talking like the Lord Jesus Christ. Praying for their enemies. Interceding for their enemies. And say, Lord, don't wipe them out, even though they deserve it. Don't wipe them out. God responds to this prayer. And he says in verse 23 to Moses, speak unto the congregation. Okay, Moses, you prayed this, and Aaron, you've interceded. And now I'm going to respond. And he says, I want you to make this challenge to all the people. You prayed that God would not wipe out the whole nation who had come under the influence of these men. Well, here's the test. Speak unto them and say to them in verse 24, get you up from about the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and the Abiram. So God says, this is it. This is where the division is going to be. Those who want to stay with Korah, Dathan, and the Abiram, and the 250 that are with him, you stay there. And you'll face the same judgment. But those who believe that I am going to destroy them, you get away from them. You separate yourself. You move physically from their tents. Moses, in verse 26, rose up. You can imagine the stillness of this moment. And he walks, this old man, with his older brother, over 100 years of age, probably. And these elders follow him. They walk to the door of the tabernacle. They look at Dathan and Abiram and Korah. And Moses says these words, verse 26, depart, I pray you. Moses says, this is the last chance. He says, you've got to leave these people. And he calls it the tents of these wicked men. And the implication there is that the group, the majority was with them, was standing beside them. And Moses says to all the people, listen, these people are wicked men. And he says at the end of the verse, lest ye be consumed in all their sins. They're sinners and they're wicked men. And if you don't get out of there, God's going to destroy you. The last chance to move away. And then Moses explains, verse 28, hereby ye shall know that the Lord has sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of mine own mind. If these men die the common death of all men, or if they be visited after the visitation of all men, then the Lord has not sent me. Moses says, listen, you're going to see something here this morning. If these men survive and go on to live what we would call full lives, then God hasn't sent me. But, verse 30, if the Lord make a new thing, and the earth open her mouth and swallow them up, and all that appertain unto them, and go down quick into the pit, then ye shall understand that these men have provoked the Lord. Moses says, couldn't have made it any more clear, could he? There's iron on myself. And if God has chosen us, these men will disappear. If God hasn't chosen us, these men will survive. Live out their lives. Now, even in this last solemn warning, is the grace of God. Because we noted last time, God gave Korah, Dathan, Abiram, and the 250, 24 hours to think about their rebellion. And after the 24 hours is up, God could easily have struck them all down dead there, but he didn't. He let all this drama work itself out with Moses and Aaron and the elders speaking and standing there. He let all the words of Moses be played out. At each of these moments, God is giving each one of these men an opportunity to repent. They could have moved. They could have come to Moses and fallen on their face and asked for mercy and forgiveness. But they didn't. And although God is a God of great patience, a God of great mercy, God's patience and God's mercy is not infinite. It doesn't last forever. You know, there are some silly people and they say, God is a God who has infinite mercy. No, he doesn't. He doesn't. God is a God who has infinite patience. No, he doesn't. Because there comes a moment for each person where God's mercy runs out and God's patience runs out. And we're told in verse 31, it came to pass, it'll come to pass for your life, my life, that God's patience runs out. Came to pass. They'd heard all the sermons they were ever going to hear. That's it. No more. Came to pass that they had received all the windows of mercy that was ever going to be opened for them, and now they're shut. There's nothing left. It says, it came to pass, as he had made an end of speaking all these words, the last words these men would ever hear, it says, the ground cleave asunder. That's an old expression. It means the ground just was torn open. And it says that was under them, right underneath their very feet. the 2 feet that they stood up so proudly and said, Moses, Aaron, God has spoken through us, not you. And God literally took the ground from the feet of them. And hell opened up. And these men and all that were with them got a first-class ticket to hell directly there in a moment of time. And all their goods and all their supporters were swallowed up, fell into the pit of hell. Now you would think that such a moment would terrify all the rest. And it does say in verse 34 that all Israel that were round about them fled. And notice what it says, at the cry of them, as they were falling into hell, they must have cried in fear, but not in repentance. And everybody heard it. And everybody was frightened. You can imagine. And it's as if they started running away from the borders of where these people had disappeared from. But you know, there was another group of almost 250 men who were standing there with their brass or bronze censers. These were almost like a shovel that held the burning coal and incense. And they were standing there, if you remember. And Moses had said to them, if God be God and has not chosen us, you 250, you can take over. They just witnessed Dathan and Abiram and Korah disappear directly into hell. And God could have taken the 250 and dumped them in hell at the same moment. But he gives this 250 one last chance. Because as they saw Dathan and Abiram disappear, they could have run to Moses for mercy. But they didn't. They stood there with their censers. And what does God do to them? He sends fire from heaven. And it barbecues, cremates every single one of them in a moment of time. God rained fire from hell out of heaven. Burned them up. Wouldn't take the last chance. Well, God says, you not get another one. They all were destroyed in a moment of time. God says, lest people forget what went on here today. He said to Moses, you send some of your priests and they're to gather up all these bronze censers. And they're to use them, beat them into a plate of bronze. And that plate of bronze will sit on the altar here at the tabernacle. So that everybody coming from now on will be reminded when they see this brass or bronze plates that God is a God of judgment. He's a holy God. That you don't play the fool with him. Moses sends some of the priests to go in and gather up. And what an awful job it must have been, the smell of the burned human remains. They gathered up these bronze censers, as I said, like shovels. And they were converted or beaten together and heated and made into a great bronze plate that would sit at the border of the altar. Now you would imagine at such a moment of such direct judgment by God that the whole congregation of the nation wouldn't dare open their mouths for the rest of their life. You would think that such judgment and witnessing, smelling the burnt remains and seeing the whole swallow up these people, that no one would dare open their mouths ever again against God.
But you'd be wrong. Because 24 hours later, another rebellion breaks out.
Now, just by way of aside, there are people, even in this time, who think that after a person dies, and they die a sinner, that they can go to some intermediate place and there be punished by God. And through the punishment, they will be refined, changed, and will recognize God's judgment, and then will come back into another life and go to heaven. They call it purgatory.
Or some have other different names for it.
Well, this story, like so many instances in the Bible, will remind you and I that the ungodly, if they die in their sins, will never repent. Never repent. And here, when God judges in such a visual, in such a powerful way, it doesn't change the stubborn hearts. Because look what happens. Verse 41. But on the morrow, the next day, didn't even last a week, the fear of God, even the smell of the burned up humanity still lingering in the atmosphere, didn't put them off. Because it says the very next day. Now notice these words. Verse 41. All, not some, all the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron. Now notice it's murmuring. It's not yet outright talking. But it begins as a gossip. Begin to talk. Maybe tent to tent. In the coffee shop. On the WhatsApp. Begin to talk to one another. Complain. And notice what they said. Ye, Moses and Aaron, have killed the people of Israel. Now that was a lie. A lie for two reasons. Number one, it wasn't Moses and Aaron who had killed Korah and Dathan and Abiram and these 250. It was God. The second reason it was a lie was it was actually Moses and Aaron who had prayed for God to have mercy on them. And if it hadn't been for the prayers of Moses and Aaron, they would have been consumed with them. But you know, when sin gets a grip of a person's life, they can't think clearly. And they start to ascribe all kinds of evil motives to the child of God. And expect that. Expect that. Don't expect the ungodly to tell the truth. Don't expect the devil to fight clean. You know, last Saturday morning, 1,500 Jews were beheaded, shot, raped, kidnapped on the border of Gaza and the State of Israel. The worst massacre of Jews since the Holocaust. Fact. They even FaceTimed it and put it on Facebook Live to let the people see in the world what they were doing.
They were so proud of it.
And less than 24 hours, less than 12 hours, the devil's crowd were on the streets of every major city of this world. Not just the Middle East, of this world. From Tokyo, Seoul, Turkey, Germany, France, UK, Belfast, Dublin.
And what were they doing? Celebrating. Giving out sweets to the children to celebrate.
And within a few hours, they were not just celebrating, they began to accuse those who had been massacred
of being the butchers. And now they're protesting. 100,000 of them walked the streets of London yesterday to protest against the atrocities of the people who were the victims. Oh, you see what the devil can do?
How easily truth can become a lie. And a lie can become the truth to them.
Just like that. So don't ever expect the devil to fight clean.
Because he's always a liar. In fact, God says he's a liar from the beginning. And a murderer from the beginning. And all those who are his disciples, they think and they act the same way. Here Moses and Aaron, having been the instruments that God used to show mercy and forgiveness to this great number of people, they become accused of being the very opposite of what they were.
You know, the Lord Jesus Christ said this, "The servant is not greater than the master." If they hated me, they will hate you.
If they persecute me and say all manner of evil against me, they'll say it of you. In fact, Christ said this, "Woe
if all men speak good about you."
You know the people to be wary of? Number one in the opinion polls.
The favorites.
The influencers. You don't want to be in that number.
Now, here's the next great test for Moses and Aaron. Verse 45, God speaks and he says to them, "Get you up." He says, "You get out of here. And I'm going to send a plague and wipe out this people. Sick of them." And notice what happens, verse 45. Now you could understand Moses and Aaron's reaction here. If they said, "Well, you know, God, we've tried all the forgiveness. We've tried all the pleading for souls here. We've worn ourselves out. We've exhausted all our pity. And now these people are gathered," and you get the impression they're almost gathered to murder Moses and Aaron. So angry. And yet, notice what it says of Moses and Aaron. Verse 45. "And they fell upon their faces." And Moses then says to Aaron, "Aaron, you're the high priest." He says, "You get the censer. That bronze censer that God has given you, which has the live coals from the altar and the incense, and is a picture of prayer. Because the incense was used by God to picture prayer ascending up into heaven on behalf of the nation." And he says to Aaron, "You're the high priest." And he says, "Put the fire from off the altar." And he says in verse 46, "Go quickly. Don't delay, Aaron. And you run up and down the midst of the congregation where all the people are and pray that God would have mercy on them.
And Moses says, don't delay. He says, the plague has begun.
Well, this was no COVID-19 or bird flu.
This was no Spanish flu. Every single person that God put his finger on in the plague, 15,000 of them, died on the spot. And Moses says to Aaron, go quickly before God destroys all 4 million.
And I like Aaron's response. Verse 47. Now bear in mind, this guy's probably over 100 years of age. He's not as spiritual as Moses. But it says, Aaron never asked, never questioned, took as Moses' command. Little brother had spoken. Aaron had learned to obey. And he picked up the incense in his censer. And this man, 100 years of age, ran into the midst of the congregation. What grace in Aaron and Moses. Now let me make a very simple application. There may be people here this morning, and you have bitterness in your heart toward another Christian. Maybe a family member. Maybe someone from this flock. You say, I can't forgive them. I will never forgive them. Let me say this, if Moses and Aaron could be healed this way, oh, how much easier it is for you. These people came to murder them. And yet, they didn't just seek God's mercy, they ran. By the way, if you read this carefully, nobody's asking for mercy. You notice that? Nobody's apologizing to Moses and Aaron as Aaron running up and down the congregation. This is just grace in the heart of Moses and Aaron, enabling them to do this. And let me finish by saying this. Verse 48. And he stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stayed. Now let me translate that for you in a simple way. He's really saying this. God answered the prayer of Moses and Aaron. We have a gospel mission coming up. And this church stands between the living and the dead. Those who are spiritually alive and those who are spiritually dead. And you and I have a role to play. And one of the most important roles we have to play is to pray, like Moses and Aaron did, for people out there who don't like us, who don't want us, or our faith, have no time for it, and if they could, would even massacre us. But we have a duty to pray for them, like Moses and Aaron did. And here's the good news. Who knows? Who knows whether God would stay the plague of sin in their lives and have mercy upon them? What does this story tell us? It tells us God is a God of mercy, sure. It tells us that God is patient. Absolutely. Tells us that God is forgiving. For sure. But it also tells us that God is a holy God. And time is running out for sin. Remember the little text we have on the side of the wall of the church? For everybody walking past, everybody driving past. I don't know who chose that, but it was such a great choice. Beside that clock. It is time to sink not the church. For the church can do nothing for you.
It doesn't say it is time to seek the pastor or the priest.
They can do nothing for you. It says it is time to seek the Lord. Christian, it's time for you to seek the Lord and intercede for your neighbor, your family. Backslider, it's time for you to start seeking the Lord. And if you're here this morning and you're not saved, it's time for you, most of all, before there is no more time, to seek the Lord. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this solemn story and solemn chapter that speaks to us at so many levels, even as Christians, about our attitude to others, our prayers for others, our concern for others. And Lord, although we often criticize Aaron, and even Moses too, for their failures, how we recognize that both of them were better men than most of us, if not all of us. Thank you that they demonstrated humility, faith, and grace, and love and compassion. We like to talk about love and compassion a lot, but if we're really honest, we're not very compassionate people. Lord, give us compassion. Give us the heart of Jesus in dealing with others, thinking about others, in our attitude to others. We pray even in this week of mission, may the heart of Christ be seen, not just in this place, but in our lives, toward others. For we ask all these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.